Welcome to this week's Big Z Sports Internet Broadcast. This special presentation of Big Z Sports is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Now, the Big Z Sports team of Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast, presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia, 330-365-9022. Check them out on Facebook as well and online at aesracing.com. Guys, we haven't met up since Game 4 of the Finals this past Friday night, and the season came to an end for the Cleveland Cavaliers in sweep fashion. But I think the big story coming out of the Finals, not that the Cavs were swept and not that it was dominated by the Warriors, but the big thing was the cast at the end of Game 4. Eric, your thoughts on LeBron's injury that obviously was held from us until the post-game press conference in Game 4.
Yeah, the rumors started to get out like around halftime of Game 4 about LeBron's hand, and then it was confirmed during the post-game presser when LeBron said, yeah, self-inflicted after Game 1. The team did a great job hiding that injury. Now when you go back and look at certain things, like LeBron shooting from the outside and why he did not take any shots from the outside, really, and his percentage went way down from Game 1 through the rest of the games in that series. Then people were doing close-ups of his hand, and you're like, wow, look at the swelling on his hand and everything. Did the Cavs win the series if LeBron doesn't break his hand? No. Do they win a game? Who knows? Maybe one. I don't know. Does it change the way the series went? I don't think so. Is it a shame? Yeah, the emotions got the best of them. You guys all saw the video of the player sitting on the bench after the end of regulation of Game 1, and you saw how devastated LeBron really was. He was beside himself. And then we now know what happened after that, walking back in that locker room. Think in that Warriors locker room. We celebrated championships there. We sprayed champagne in that locker room. Suffered some devastating losses. Seasons, I think, we've ended our season there in that locker room.
Kyrie's season ended 1 year in that locker room.
Yeah, the broken kneecap and everything. And now LeBron punches a chalkboard after that meltdown in Game 1. It's just a wild series. Really, 4 years between those two teams, but didn't end the way anybody wanted in a sweep.
You made a great point earlier when you said LeBron's injury after Game 1 was his emotions got the best of him. And I'll ask both of you this question. Was it selfish for LeBron to punch something in anger? Every one of us has done it. We can't deny that. I've done it growing up. I know, Chris, you've done it. Eric, I'm sure you've done it. But out of anger, out of frustration, you just pull off and punch something, whether it's a brick wall, it's a pillow, whatever it is. Obviously, with a blackboard or a chalkboard, whatever it was behind, hanging on a wall, he punches it. He's got to control his emotions, in my opinion. I thought it was kind of selfish for him to do that, just knowing the fact that there could be a consequence when you do something like that, Chris. And you know, And I feel sorry for LeBron. I feel bad for him. But you know what? I think that his emotions got the best of him.
I mean, I agree. I think his emotions got the best of him too. But that's what sports is all about, right? You want to see that emotional side of people. You don't want people to go out there and walk around straight-faced and, you know, everybody act the same. The emotion taking over is what you want to see. And the emotion bled over, and he made a mistake, just like Marcus Smart did earlier in the year, and other people have done. You know, it is what it is. I just, you know, my opinion, I don't think that he should have put the cast on when he came to the press conference. But, you know, I think he could have waited till afterwards. I think it was just going to stir up stuff. And it did. It stirred up what he wanted it to, I guess. You know, oh, my goodness, he scored 29 points a game with a broken hand. And, you know, it is what it is. But bottom line is, you know, I like the emotion in sports. That's what sports is all about. And, you know, I got the best of them.
You said it like it wasn't amazing, like he scored 29 a game with a broken hand. Like, anybody can do that.
No, it's just the point of, okay, still scored 29 points. That's incredible what he's doing.
I think we all know LeBron likes the attention. I mean,
you're right.
He's been in the league 15 years. You're right. Been on Sports Illustrated as a junior in high school. Well, obviously, he wasn't thinking in the moment, right?
Sure, absolutely. And you don't when you're
you mentioned emotions get the best of you. Yeah. But I think that just goes to show, in that moment, he knew at that point in time how important Game 1 was, and they may have lost a series right there with Game 1. You have a chance to beat a super team at home Game 1 of the Finals. You haven't been able to beat them in Game 1 of the Finals the three previous years you played them, and you have them on the ropes. I think it just went to show kind of what he was feeling after that game.
But would you, as a, you know, Eric, I'll ask you this question because I think you're the biggest Cavs fan. I mean, we're all Cavs fans to a point, but I think you're the biggest Cleveland Cavs fan, LeBron fan in the room. Would you have felt better if LeBron would have, you know, not had the cast on game four and then just went through the summer? And, and if it came out in the summer, it came out in the summer. Are you okay with the way he went about it? Do you think he should have just let it go and just worried about it in the summer if it came out? Or do you think he did the right thing having the cast on and answering questions now?
No, I don't know. I don't know what the right or wrong thing is. He came out in the cast, and it is what it is. I don't know if there is a right or wrong thing. Eventually, people were going to find out.
Sure.
I think sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
I don't really know what was right or wrong in that instance, but I think it just goes back to say he likes the attention.
Sure.
It was a nice, shiny, new Black Cassidy. Had on in, yes, it was. In the press conference.
And he even made that point in the press conference, like, oh, you guys like taking pictures of this. You know, he put it up to his, you know, and it was kind of funny. He made light of it.
I know, but it's even in the press, point, I know, though, right?
But even in the press conference, I mean, lighthearted LeBron is better than serious game face LeBron. I'd rather listen to lighthearted LeBron after it getting your butt whooped in four games by the Warriors, which I'm pretty sure he knew was going to happen. But anyway, let's move on from that. And other big rumors coming around LeBron over the last few days. LeBron's son going to L.A. at a prep school. That's the big rumor. Gary Payton released that. Apparently, Gary Payton's son goes to that school along with Scottie Pippen's son.
Are we reporting rumors right now?
No, I'm just saying your guys' thoughts on those rumors. Should we just not worry about them?
That's one of those things that it's been reported by multiple sources, but the schools denied it. LeBron James obviously hasn't said anything. Bronny going to L.A., you know, it is what it is,
this school,
right?
This school, I mean, is known
Does that mean that LeBron's going to L.A., in my opinion? No, I don't think that means that. I think that we're going to be sitting here for the next month and a half, talking about the same thing every week. Where's LeBron going to go? Where's LeBron going to go? And I think that it's just going to, in my opinion, I think we should let the national media cover it. And we should just say, hey, look, we'll cover it when it happens. If there's breaking news, we'll talk about it. Because we've talked about it ad nauseum, in my opinion, for the last 2 months. And now we're only halfway, in my opinion.
Hey, still got a month to go.
Right, exactly.
And the news came out today on Twitter as well, on CavsNation.com, that LeBron was informing the Cavs of his decision today. I don't know if that means he's just telling them that he's opting out of his contract, if he's going elsewhere.
I'm listening.
It's just kind of weird.
I hate reporting rumors.
I agree, but that's what the business we're in, is just to talk about those rumors. And I'm not saying they're legit. I'm just saying your thoughts on these rumors, if they're starting to fly around. I mean, a lot of people throw rumors to see if they stick, but some legit sources do come out with stuff.
First of all, I think we jumped the gun a little bit. You kind of went right to it with the whole LeBron rumors and his kid to L.A. and all that stuff. Well, let's talk about options. What maybe are the best options? And I mean, Chris said it. He feels like we've talked about this enough. Maybe we can break it down into different podcasts. Okay, today's, what are LeBron's best options, in your opinion? We all know what the options are.
I think his best option is to stay home.
Yeah.
That's honest to God's truth. I think his best option is to build his team. If he wants legacy, right, then if he's chasing rings, why do you make more money in endorsements than you do in your contract? Why can't athletes, and not just LeBron, athletes across the board, take a pay cut once you've made your money? If you're trying to win championships, take your pay cut, live off your endorsements, for Pete's sake, and have that salary cap to bring other people in. Why can't that happen in Cleveland? Because
because the Players Association won't let him do that.
Well, but guess what? If you're LeBron James and you're the best player in the world, you step up and say, look, I'm changing things, and this is...
Well, LeBron's taken pay cuts before, never taken a max deal. He's going to, if not this year, next year, cash in on that over $200 million maximum deal that the Cavs can give him. No other team can give him that. What do they call it? The Supermax?
The Supermax, yeah.
The Supermax.
It'll be over almost $300 million by next year is what they're saying.
That's insane.
It is. I heard a rumor that he was making $3 million a week. So what's the difference? I mean, my goodness, are we going to have to, you know, are we going to have to call the government and put him on food stamps if he takes a pay cut and makes only $2 million a year or a week instead of three? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense to me. You want to chase rings? Why not? Why go to another team with superstars? Why not stay home, build what you got, take a little bit of a cut and bring people in and build your pieces. That's what Michael did. That's what, you know.
But it's a different game now, man.
And it's not just Michael, but David Robinson did it. Larry Bird did it.
Magic Johnson did it.
Kobe Bryant did it. They built what they had. They stayed home. They didn't ring chase all over the place like Kevin Durant is and like LeBron is. It's frustrating to me.
My opinion with the Cavs, if he stays there, they're limited on cap space, if any at all. You know, unfortunately, they're going to have to move some contracts. George Hill's contract's going to have to go away. Probably Kevin Love's contract's going to have to go away. Tristan, believe it or not, probably have to go away. Those three contracts right now have handicapped this franchise to a point to where they can't even entertain bringing in a DeMarcus Cousins.
They're paying JR a pretty nice penny, too.
That contract needs to go away. And,
you've got Paul George out there, right?
If LeBron comes back to Cleveland, this team's going to look completely different. There might not be but one or two guys on this team that were on the team last year, and I think the coaching staff could look different as well, and just my personal opinion.
Well, you're talking about roster there. You look at rosters at all these other teams. Logistically and realistically, what are these teams that LeBron could possibly go to? We all know, okay, Cleveland's an option.
Houston, Philly. Philly's an option. I mean, it's there.
Third.
The Lakers, they have the most cap space in the NBA.
San Antonio.
San Antonio is an option, but they're up against the wall. Houston has less cap space. They'd have to gut that team to get LeBron.
Those first few I mentioned, or that you mentioned, really that we all agree on. I think that's pretty much it. Cleveland. Yeah. L.A. and Houston, maybe Philadelphia. I don't think that's as intriguing as others.
And I think San Antonio.
Really think
that. I think those five. Those are the big five that I've read anyway.
Yeah.
And, of course, listening to other national media personnel or people, they say that, believe it or not, he will sit down and talk with the Golden State Warriors this summer. He'll sit down and talk to them. It doesn't mean he's going there.
You really believe that?
I do believe that.
Come on. Because for what? How are they going to bring in?
I'm not saying they're going to bring him in. I'm not saying they're going to bring him in.
What makes you think that he's going to actually sit and talk with them? Why waste his time?
Exactly, because there's no way they can afford all four of those players. There's no way.
You never know what
they're
thinking.
They can afford all four players if those were the only four players on the team.
What I'm saying is that if that would happen, they would go ahead and make the moves of getting rid of Draymond, getting rid of Klay Thompson, and having Steph, Durant, and LeBron on that team. Yes, the rest of that team would be a bunch of role players, but that's more far-fetched than anything else, like him going to the Celtics. No, but he will sit down and
he's
talk to them.
He's not going to Boston.
He'll talk to Houston. He'll talk to the Lakers.
I'd be willing to bet money that he does not chat with Golden State over this free agency.
I don't know, man.
I would tend to agree with you. I think that's absurd. I read it, too, and I know what you're saying. But I think it's absurd.
We're at this point now. It's almost like the NFL draft, right? We lived through that a couple months ago, where it's silly season.
Yeah,
where
it changes every day.
I mean, listen, there's people writing articles just to get clicks out there.
Sure. Oh,
and some of us get hooked.
I probably got clicked on those. I probably clicked on those articles, it's
some
intriguing.
Some of us get hooked, and that's why you read that stuff
it makes your mind go, I wonder if that's true. But the Lakers make the most sense to me because, like I said, they have a very young team, but they have the most cap space in the league.
Cap space is a free agent. Cap space is key, but the team is garbage.
True.
Correct. And they just lost their two best players, right?
Team is garbage.
Nance and Clarkson, two of their better players. Lonzo Ball's nothing but a problem. If you're LeBron James, do you want to go deal with LeVar Ball?
Well,
really?
I agree. But listen, what I'm saying about the Lakers is that, if that intrigues LeBron being in LA, he has a business there, he has a home there, whatever. But he also has the probably the want to bring Showtime back to the Lakers. How cool would that be for him? Because look, you got Paul George, who's a free agent, that is where he's from. Oh, that's right, he's from LA. Klay Thompson at the end of next season is a free agent. Where's he from? Oh, that's right, LA. Where'd his daddy play? That's right, the Lakers.
Yeah,
if this is going to be a possibility, the Lakers, you got to think about it. Even if you take LeBron out, LeBron can handle LeVar Ball. Don't worry about that. Lonzo Ball and LeBron hooking up on the same team, that might help Lonzo's game, though, because you don't want Lonzo shooting.
No.
He's good at rebounding assists, right?
What's LeBron going to do with LeVar? Is he going to capture him and lock him in Greenland somewhere?
Maybe. And throw him through that chalkboard in Oakland that he punched.
I think you guys could probably agree with me, which we don't want to do today. if we wanted to get it all out there and kill the whole LeBron thing now, this could be a 2-hour podcast.
Oh, absolutely. We could take a 3-hour show and do it on a Friday night.
So maybe next week, because remember, next week, 1 week from tomorrow is the NBA draft.
That's right.
So we will meet, we'll pod again before next Thursday. And I think then might be a good time, once we get closer, to see who the Cavs may be drafting, if they deal that pick, sort of talk about what rosters may be looking like, what
talk about something else,
and where LeBron may end up going, especially once the draft gets closer. And once the draft is over, I think we'll really get a better detail as to what, because to be honest with you, I think draft night's going to be crazy. Cavs almost traded for Paul George last draft night, almost dealt Kyrie Irving. So I think this draft,
I'm not going to go into it, but in my personal opinion, I think they need to package somebody with that eighth pick to get something of substance. That's the only way they're going to get something of substance with that pick.
Yeah, and they can't, real quick on that, and sorry, Chris, but they just can't deal the eighth pick for a player.
Yeah,
in the NBA, you have to attach a salary to and everything, sure. Match salary for salary. Everything's got to add up. So then you start looking at pairing that pick with a player, Kevin Love or Tristan or JR, get one of these big deals.
Yep.
Or all three.
All three, or all three. There you go.
Send all three to Atlanta. They have cap space.
There you go. I got a quick question for you too. If LeBron does go to LA, do you think that this is something that the NBA will push? Because two of obviously the staple franchises in the NBA, the Celtics and the Lakers, would now be arguably the top teams in either conference. And kind of on that course for what happened in the old school days,
I think,
do you think that's something that the NBA would push, or do you think that that's just they'll let it play out?
For the people that think the NBA is rigged and they want certain things because of certain things, the NBA wants a competitive league is what they want. The NBA don't want all their superstars on one team on this coast and all their superstars on the other coast. They don't want that. They want a competitive league. Has it been competitive over the last 4 years? No, it's been two teams, the Cavs and the Warriors, meeting in the finals. Historically, that's, I think, what is it, the first time it's happened in
ever?
So the NBA wants a competitive league. They don't want a competitive two teams, you know, or non-competitive two teams that meet in the finals every year. But for the people out there that think that the league puts their hands on the finals and says, oh, well, we want Golden State to win this year. Oh, Cleveland's going to win in seven games this year. It's not like that, honestly. I think talent takes over and the right teams win the championship every year. The league doesn't want all the superstars on one team. I'm sure they cringe when Kevin Durant went to Golden State because they're like, oh, here we go.
You're probably right. They probably worry about competitive balance and what's the parity. That's what we hear in the NFL
it's
all the time.
Good for business.
But I tell you, the NBA, in a way, they would want LeBron in L.A. Just like the national. I mean, listen, everyone would talk about it. Lakers would have 40 national TV games. It'd give everybody content. Yeah, is that what the NBA wants? Probably 50-50. You know what I mean?
Sure. And down deep, maybe, but I think on the surface, I think they do really want that competitive league. Who wants to watch the Hawks and the Grizzlies? I mean, really? Because, I mean, I wouldn't watch a dribble of that game.
Okay.
Well, the Grizzlies have been out of the league forever.
Well, you know what I mean.
We'll take Conley and Randolph.
Memphis Grizzlies. What are you talking about?
We'll take Z-Bo at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I want competitive games because I want to be able to sit down and watch a game in the regular season that's competitive. I don't want to see a blowout. I don't want to see these. It's just like the NFL. It's a lot of times why I don't want to watch some of these nationally televised games is because they're going to be blowouts.
One question I forgot. I'm glad I didn't forget it, but you mad if LeBron leaves, real quick?
Me personally, no. I was upset with him when he left, the way he did it back in 2010. But if he leaves this time, I think he's fulfilled his promise to the fans, to the organization. He wants to bring a championship to Northeast Ohio. He did that. If LeBron wants to go and explore other things and spread his wings, let him go. I mean, don't be mad at him. I think there will be some fans that will be mad at him. It won't be to the extent of last time, as long as he does it the correct way. But no, I'm not mad if he leaves.
The only way we get mad if he goes to Boston or something like that. We'll burn jerseys
or
again.
Or Golden State. Boston and Golden State, it's on.
Jerseys are being burnt again.
Let's be honest, though. Okay? So you're not going to be mad if he's chasing rings again? No, stay home. You already left once.
But
stay home.
He has nothing. He has really nothing else to do. When he left the first time, do you guys realize
he has a lot left to do?
He was gone 4 years from Cleveland when he left the first time. You know who had the worst record in the NBA in those 4 years?
Cavaliers.
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cavs set a record for consecutive losses in any major pro sport.
That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. So when he leaves, Cavs fans don't expect this team to be still where they are because he leaves it in ruins sometimes. You know what I mean? So if he leaves, be prepared for a rebuild.
And you know what? Dan Gilbert kind of set himself up like this. Why do you think he didn't deal that eighth pick in the middle of the season?
Sure.
I mean, he kind of saw this coming. He doesn't want to be left standing at the altar, if you will, with LeBron bolting on him again. So that's kind of why he set himself up, got some younger players dealing the trash we got from Boston and got Nance and Clarkson in there. So
does it make it even worse if LeBron leaves that they traded Kyrie Irving?
No. I mean, listen, if LeBron doesn't win a ring, how can you leave? Like, bro, you said you're coming here to win a ring.
He's won it.
Yeah, he got the ring.
What I'm saying is now all of a sudden you could have kept Kyrie and built your team around Kyrie. Now you're still kind of where you're at when LeBron was in Miami, but now
with no
Kyrie, nothing.
No superstar.
Except
for maybe Kevin Love, if he's even still there.
Look at the Kyrie situation like this, okay? I compare the Kyrie situation to the LeBron situation back in 2010. Kyrie was here by himself, right? He was the first pick overall the year after LeBron left, right? Mm-hmm. So he comes here. He plays 4 years here without LeBron. He tries to hone his game and get better and be that superstar that he wants. It becomes an all-star.
All-star game, MVP.
Absolutely. So then LeBron comes back. He learns how to win. He learns how to win a championship, just like LeBron did in Miami. LeBron matured in Miami, learned how to win at the highest level. So Kyrie learned that thing. I don't blame Kyrie for wanting to go elsewhere. He wasn't going to win.
But he didn't want to go elsewhere.
But he did, because he wasn't going to win in Cleveland by himself. He needed to learn how to win, and now he knows how to be that superstar on another team. If he doesn't stay in Boston and produce a championship there, he could go somewhere else and do that same thing, because he knows what it takes, because he played with LeBron for 4 years.
I'm convinced Kyrie will never win anything by himself. Ever.
I mean,
I'm not saying that he probably won't.
That's just my feelings towards
by himself.
But Kyrie didn't want to leave. That was the thing. Cleveland tried to backdoor him and trade him behind his back. That's when he found out and said, hey, all right, if you don't want me here, then you're going to trade me. And that's how it went down.
I don't think, Kyrie got butthurt then, because it's, you know what, it's a business. And
I get it.
You know, in your contracts, if you don't want traded backdoor, guess what? You put a no trade clause in.
Right.
But unless Kyrie didn't do that. So Kyrie said to the Cavs, oh, well, you try to trick me and trade me. You know what? It's a business, man. You know, if the Cavs feel they can get
somewhere that doesn't want you,
you got to always explore your options. And Kyrie's got
to. If you're a role player, if you're Rodney Hood and they try to deal you and it doesn't go down, what do you have to be upset about?
You
have no gripe.
But if you're a superstar,
they sign Kyrie to a max deal. Kyrie, you're the man. You're our franchise point guard. Hey, LeBron, you said you wanted to trade Kyrie. Let's try and get this
guy. I agree with Eric on that 100%.
Okay, we'll be different. That's fine. But I think that what happens if Boston in the offseason says, we go behind Kyrie's back and trade him.
I don't think they would go behind his back.
Boston hasn't even explored what they can do with Hayward and Kyrie. They haven't even scratched the surface there, man.
But there are rumors out there that Anthony Davis.
Before you get to what I know you want to say real quick, and we'll wrap up this LeBron thing, and this will change weekly, but right now, give me your top four destinations for LeBron. We're capping it at four.
Four? Top four? You go ahead, Chris.
Cleveland, L.A., Philly, and that's it, because I think those are the three.
Not even your Spurs, who you kept saying?
No, I don't think he goes there, because it's not marketable enough.
What about a dark horse then? Something that could happen that people maybe aren't talking about right now. What about like Toronto, Miami?
No, I mean, I just don't see that.
All right.
I don't see that. He doesn't want to get into a rebuild somewhere else or whatever. If he's going to rebuild, he's going to go to L.A. and be in the spotlight. But I think he stays home.
My top four choices in order, 1 to 4. Cleveland, the Lakers, I think Philadelphia. And I believe it or not, I really think the Spurs thing intrigues me a little bit with Popovich, because he's very fond of
Greg
Popovich.
What about Kawhi? No Kawhi, no LeBron.
Well, Kawhi's still there one more year. He's got that still under that contract.
You got Aldridge there.
Yeah, and they're getting older.
Patty Mills.
So they're going to have to free up some space. Depends on who goes away for the Spurs. If Ginobili retires, if Tony Parker retires, that frees up some money. So the Spurs, I think, are a dark horse there, like you asked for.
Worst hairline, LeBron or Ginobili?
No, Ginobili by far.
Listen, if I had to put it, is he staying or going? As of right now, I don't know. I'd say 60% stays, 40% goes. Listen, he's been to the finals 4 years in a row with Cleveland. He knows Danny Gilbert's going to spend. So as of right now, is it me being an optimist and Cleveland sports fan at heart? Yeah, probably. Cleveland's my top choice. Then I say Philly and Houston, and I have L.A. a close third or fourth right there behind Houston. But I don't know if he wants to go west, man. You want to go play in the same conference as the Warriors? Don't the Lakers and the Warriors play in the same the Pacific, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
you want to come in second place for the next 3 years in your own conference?
But he's coming second place anyway.
Yeah,
overall,
point.
You know, I mean,
overall on the finals,
yeah. You know, I mean,
no,
but what
he's
would,
saying in the East,
but what would
Boston's been the
what would be more impressive, LeBron going to another finals in the East or LeBron taking a team from the West, knocking off Golden State and going to the finals? What would be more impressive for LeBron's ego?
No,
it would be dethroning Golden State in the West finals. Sure. But here's the thing: I think if LeBron stays East, and God, we could do this forever, but I think if LeBron stays East, it gives him an easier path back to the finals, which ultimately, just get the man in the finals. You see what he can do. Besides, you know, dropped 51, then broke his hand.
So. I hope he goes to L.A. I hope they knock off the Warriors, and I hope the Celtics charge in the finals.
Speaking of the Celtics, we're done with LeBron this week. We'll get back to it next
Thank
week
you.
And probably throw up
that
in our mouth.
Went too long.
But anyway, other NBA news really quick came through various media outlets yesterday. Chris, I'll come to you on this. Kyrie says he wants no part of a contract extension this summer. We'll play out the season, let him get healthy. Your thoughts on, you know, saying no extension right now, let me play the season.
Well, I mean, I think that's a given. It's what everybody's come to do, right? You sign one-year contracts to try and get the supermax at the end of it, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's what everybody's doing right now. I agree with that. I don't see the issue with that. There's obviously rumors out there that, you know, Kyrie has said that he, you know, is not going to re-sign with Boston after 2019. The Celtics are nervous about that. Somebody leaked a report that said he was close to Kyrie in Cleveland, and Kyrie has a lot of ties with New York and would have actually accepted a trade to New York when Carmelo was there. Who knows what's going to happen with Kyrie? The rumors are that, you know, the unibrow rumors already are stirred up this summer. So who knows?
He's growing one?
No, that he may be traded for Anthony Davis at some point. If Anthony Davis signs with the Boston Celtics and all they lose is Kyrie Irving, game, set, match, LeBron better go west.
Okay, other real quick NBA news yesterday. I know, Eric, you didn't hear about this. Pistons make a good choice with Dwayne Casey?
Yes.
Yeah, proven coach.
Okay. And the Raptors, you know, that they volleyed that news yesterday and they hire a nurse. Have you ever heard of him?
What's her name?
I don't know what his last name is. Nurse. His last name is Nurse. He was an assistant coach.
Is it Gaylord Fokker?
it could be, but it's better off being probably him anyway. So
it is Nick Nurse.
Yeah, so there's a nurse in
He's
Toronto
an assistant.
Now. So they may need a doctor to get to the finals. Not sure it's going to happen for the Raptors.
We'll need a lot more.
Real quick,
need LeBron to get to the finals.
Let's flip to Major League Baseball real quick. Over the weekend, I know the Indians called up their top prospect, Francisco Mejia, has since sent him back down. But does prospects get you guys excited for baseball when it's their top prospect, their best prospect in the league?
Yeah, the dude's Mejia in particular is ranked as like the number 7th overall prospect.
In all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I don't get excited when a prospect gets called up for 3 games and then sent back down.
I know,
and then he gets called up for 5 and then he gets sent back down. If you're going to bring him up and let him play for a couple months, then yeah, like they did with Frankie Lindor, then yeah, that's exciting. But this whole up, back thing, blah.
I think Mejia last year, he had 14 plate appearances, didn't do well, batted 158. And listen, I'm not sitting around watching minor league baseball games, but I just look at box scores and I see he's struggling to hit the ball, and really that's, he always has.
That's, I mean, he's defensively, kind of. And that leads to my next question. If he does come up and stay and he's behind the plate, you know, controlling the pitching staff, can that help the bullpen? Could that help the starters? He's a good defensive catcher. He's a good receiver.
I kind of like what we have going on with Jan and Roberto back and forth between whatever pitcher's starting that day. You're not a fan of that catching tandem?
I mean, Jan's played much better the last year.
If Jan could get back to where he was 2 years ago, I mean, Jan offensively was really good. What was that? The World Series year.
That's how he got the Yanimal nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Robbie's played terrible this year. I mean, really has. He either strikes out or he hits a home run. And then most of the times he's striking out. I mean, he's batting what, 120 or something? I mean, he's really playing bad.
Next subject about the Indians real quick. Obviously, we all feel that they're going to make the playoffs because they play in a very weak division. The AL Central is awful. It's probably the worst division in baseball. Will that hurt the Indians going into the playoffs being in such a weak division?
No, I don't think so. I think that they have to get this bullpen figured out. You know, watching the game last night, Adam Plutko didn't look very well to me. Especially, he gave up three in the first inning. You know, obviously that was his first really rough start that he had to get off to, especially in the first inning. But where it lies is the bullpen. You know, McAllister came in and pitched really, really well last night later in the game, but the game was over by then. The bullpen's got to get things figured out. When they get Andrew Miller back and they get things settled in, they've got plenty of time to get this figured out, but they've got to get it figured out. That's the key.
Do they need another arm or two in the bullpen and a starter, or do you think just the bullpen?
No, pitching staff is solid. Chris nailed it right on the head right there. You get Miller back, things will be right.
But a healthy Miller.
Yeah,
you got to be healthy.
Last time he didn't want to take any rehab assignments. I think this time you make him maybe take a rehab assignment or two and test it before you put him right back in to the major leagues. But Joe, to answer your question, I mean, listen, the Indians have the talent.
Sure.
Am I worried about them making a deep postseason run? Yeah, we're all worried about their bullpen, but I think obviously Miller helps that out a little bit. Kluber has been out of this world. Dude's already had 10 wins already. Quietest Cookie Cleveland Carrasco superstar too. Right now.
Look at how well Cookie's been pitching.
Yeah, do you like the big bushy beard for Kluber? Do you want him to go back to
He's doing what LeBron's trying to do. With that
he just needs to shave his mustache off now. He'd be all right.
Amish or Taliban-ish.
Now all he needs is a cast right now.
Or a do-rag on his head.
There you go.
Hey, if Miller does a rehab assignment, we could go check him out at the Rubber Ducks, though.
Would he go double A? Would he go down?
I don't know. Double A.
Yeah, because
Zimmer and Chisenhall and everybody else was down there. And I actually got to see them play it. It was really cool to see him play.
It is. I agree.
I went last year when Kipnis was there, or maybe that was 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago because I went too and seen him.
We were all Kipnises then there at the Canal Park. Indians beat the Tigers, swept them over the weekend, and then White Sox Monday they beat them 4-0. Yesterday the Indians lost by a final of 5-1. They play the White Sox again tonight at 8:10, and the White Sox again tomorrow afternoon ball. Then a big series with the Twins. White Sox again, then the Tigers. Big moment right here for the Tribe to extend their lead in the Central even more. You mentioned their division being so weak. I don't think that hurts them at all as they go forward. But they do have the largest lead out of any division leader right now. But that's just because
the
division.
The Tigers just took a big hit yesterday. Miguel Cabrera out for the season, torn biceps tendon.
He might have to retire now. Man.
Believe it or not, he's only like 34,
he's
35.
35. Yeah. But here's my problem. He's batting .299, which is decent, but he's only got, I think, two home runs
on
the year.
The power has dropped.
He's only got 22 RBIs on the season. I mean, it's just not. He's hitting decent for average, batting .299. But
thing about it is, he'll go down as one of the best hitters of all time. I mean, Triple Crown. Did anyone win the Triple Crown 1 year?
Yeah,
I thought. Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap up baseball with these final two questions. Reds at 35. Will the Reds win 35 games by the All-Star break? They now have 24. The All-Star game is in a month. Eric.
You know what? They've been playing better ball. I'm going to say yeah.
Chris?
Say yeah.
No.
Okay. And real quick, Pirates under .500 at 32-35. Can they finish the season at 81-81?
Boy, they have come crashing.
I told you they would.
Can they go 82? Can they finish 81-81? We're almost halfway.
I'm saying no.
I say yes.
No.
Because
way.
Listen, I say yes because I'm an optimist.
Oh.
Okay, but listen. I told you from the rip when they were like 14-1, I said, don't worry, it's all going to come crashing down. Their pitching staff is terrible. They have the talent on offense, they have the talent on defense, starting pitchers are awful.
They were 14-1.
They scored 8 runs last night and lost 13-8.
I know. Hey, here's the deal, though. So I told you, they're like the Pittsburgh Steelers of baseball. They can score with anybody, but they can't. They're going to give up a ton. Here's the deal. Can we swap pitching staffs? You know, we'll take Cleveland starters, we'll give you our starters.
Why?
And match up our bullpen with your starters, and we'd have a pretty darn good team.
So you said they started out 14-1. That means they're 18-34 in their last.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow, hey, that's crazy.
So remember my yay or nay question from our last Big Z Sports Friday show? At the end of the season, who will have more dubs? Reds or the Buccos?
Oh, the Buccos.
The Buccos.
Seriously?
Oh, yes.
What are they at right now? 32?
Yeah.
The Reds are at 24.
Yeah.
The Reds, I mean, bro, they just got the
Reds are the Reds are 24-43.
That's 8 games difference, and somebody just
They got to play 32-35. They got to play each other like 10 more times.
That's where you make up that ground.
It starts this weekend.
It starts this weekend. All right, real quick. Also, let's switch gears. Something we don't talk about a lot, though. Golf, Shinnecock Hills, U.S. Open starts tomorrow. Tiger has a 20-1 odds to win. Best odds in over 5 years to win a tournament, especially a major. Eric, is he ready to win another major?
I don't know if he's ready or not. I think he's ready to contend. He's shown that a couple times. I don't know if he's ready to win one yet or not, but will he win one again before it's all said and done, before Tiger hangs up? Who really knows? I think the odds are in his favor. I think he's still that good. He's got the talent in there. But I don't know.
I said it 5 years ago, he's done. And the reason why he's done, I'm not saying he's not going to win a tournament again, but as far as winning a major, do you know how hard it is to beat the Jordan Spieths and the Dustin Johnsons and those guys right now? Look how long it took Phil Mickelson and certain guys to win a major title, right? And now you've got all these young guys in there, and it's not like you're able to just find your swing through these injuries. It's a very precise game, and I think he's done.
You get me to my next point. The young guys have never been a part of a major when Tiger's in contention on a Sunday. If he's wearing red and he's in contention on Sunday, are you watching? And if you're a young guy on the tour, are you intimidated?
Sunday, if I'm sitting around and I hear the alert come through on my phone, we all know the alert. We don't have to spout it out. And you see that Tiger's in contention, yes, I will turn on because it's Tiger.
Yeah,
I will be watching regardless because it's the U.S. Open and I love watching majors. So, yes, I will watch. If I was a youngster and Tiger was wearing red and he was paired with me and we were tied, say, on the going into the 10th tee, yeah, I'd probably be a little nervous.
You crap yourself.
Yeah, I'd probably be a little nervous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure.
Yeah. Or in all starstruck, oh, my gosh, Tiger's playing great. You know that type of thing.
You brought up the young players. And it's interesting, you know why they make the money they make now, these younger players, the checks, the payout checks?
Because of Tiger Woods. Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's all based off of Tiger Woods. What he did for the sport was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. And I'd absolutely love to see him contend again because it would be good for the sport.
Drives that sport.
All right, we're done talking about professional sports. We're going to talk about something that we love to talk about and why we do this show and the podcast is high school stuff. Chris, I know you have some track and field East District All-Star information.
Yeah, just real quick, it was released over the weekend. High school East District track and field All-Stars were announced in Division One. New Philadelphia's LJ Lowry was named Track Athlete of the Year. Storm Elsesser of the Quakers was named Field Athlete of the Year. And their coach, Joe Pry, being named Coach of the Year.
Is that Josie's dad?
They just swept it. Swept the whole deal. So good on the Quakers. On the girls' side in Division One, Micah Donnelly from Carrollton was named Track Athlete of the Year. And Olivia Bentley from Carrollton on the field side. And Tim Smith from Dover was the Coach of the Year. In Division Two, Zach Love was named Field Athlete of the Year from Indian Valley, also a state champion. And on the girls' side, Madison DeBose from Tuskegee Valley was named Co-Track Athlete of the Year. And in Division Three on the girls' side, Zoe Moser from Malvern and Carly Jacobs were named Co-Athletes of the Year on the track side. And Alexis Prater from Ridgewood, Field Athlete of the Year. Jeremy Mayer was the Coach of the Year from Malvern. Also, Jeff Arthurs from Claymont was named Assistant of the Year for all divisions. That was kind of a special award. So congratulations again to all, not just the East District Track and Field Award winners, but across the board, our award winners and athletes on the track and field side. Congratulations to them.
All right, guys, I'm worn out from all this LeBron and NBA talk. We're going to wrap this podcast up real quick.
You're not going to talk about the World Cup? The U.S. gets the World Cup in 2026.
I didn't even know we had soccer.
That's good enough.
It's not confirmed yet.
Yes, it is. It just was voted on this morning.
They come down. They split it between Canada, U.S., and Mexico. It's going to be a North American World Cup.
Right.
But 60, it doesn't really matter because we can't make the World Cup, so why we talk about it?
The United States gets 60 games, and then 10 are split. 10 to Mexico, 10 to Canada. That's the way it works. But the U.S. isn't even in the World Cup that starts tomorrow.
That's why we don't talk about it.
So let's move on.
Are they going to be in it in 8 years?
2026?
Yeah.
They better be.
They better
does
be.
Does LeBron ask, play soccer?
Bronny does, I think.
Ask me if I care.
I'm sure you don't. With that, we're going to wrap up this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Give them a call, 330-365-9022. And, of course, you can find them online at aesracing.com and on Facebook as well. For Eric McElroy, Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler. We'll talk to you next week on our podcast. You've been listening to the Big Z Sports Podcast presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia.
Hey, Z Country. Jeff here at Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia, your power sports headquarters. Are you looking for a quality ATV that won't break the bank? Stop by our showroom and check out our new line of Kymco ATVs and side-by-side. Like the Kymco MXU 450i that features four-wheel drive with diff lock, fuel injection, and a 12-month factory warranty, all for under $5,000. Get off-road with Action Extreme Sports, your power sports headquarters located just off I-77 in New Philadelphia or at aesracing.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook.
We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ.